Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Happy Thursday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. Another busy show to get to today. A lot of football talk on Send It In coming up over the next 30 minutes. Andrew Gillis is stopping by, going to get his thoughts on Ohio State and Notre Dame in the national championship game coming up on Monday. Also going to dive into the prop market for both the Buckeyes and the Fighting Irish. Look at any value that we see on either side for both of those teams. Dive into divisional weekend in the NFL. Yesterday we talked about the two AFC games. Today we will look at the two NFC games. And then here on a Thursday, we got some markets up for wild card specials. Quarterback to have the most passing yards this weekend. Running back to have the most rushing yards. Couple of bets, couple of long shots that I like. So we'll get into some of those throughout the show. Lucy Burge going to join us later on for Model Making Money. And then we wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, any comments that you guys have for us, you can let us know. You can go to Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL, or you can go to YouTube, /Odyssey Sports. And if you miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, we got you covered with the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get this show started. Glasses in session. Go to the Glasser guest line. Andrew Gillis joins us once again. Give him a follow on X at Andrew_Gillis70. Does a great job covering Ohio State football for Cleveland.com. And Andrew, remember when we had you on the show to preview the Tennessee game, and the vibes around Ohio State were a lot different then than they are now? We're talking about, is Ryan Day coaching for his job? Did Michigan just completely ruin Ohio State's season? And obviously ever since then, whooped Tennessee, whooped Oregon, got a little bit of a scare from Texas. So how do you see this game playing out against Notre Dame? Because obviously we have seen them struggle against teams like the Irish, right? Nebraska, Penn State, Michigan, teams that want to muck it up, keep it ugly. Are Buckeyes fans, is there a little worry about that heading into this game on Monday night?
You know, I think normally there would be, but you just said it. They dominated Tennessee. They dominated Oregon. They beat Texas. And now we're here. And it's a complete 180 from where we were a month ago. I mean, like you said, when I was here before the Tennessee game, it was like, man, if they lose to Tennessee, they maybe should fire Ryan Day. And now we're saying Ryan Day might be one of three active coaches with a national championship under his belt. It's unbelievable. This is where we're at. I think a lot of people are very excited about that because the mentality shifted. And I think the big place the mentality shifted was the Oregon game a little bit, but I think the Texas game. And where that mentality shifted was that game's going on. Ohio State scored. They've scored on they scored touchdowns on each of their first possessions offensively in the entire playoffs. So you were talking about prop bets. I like that prop bet for Ohio State. First drive touchdown. They've done it every game in the playoffs. But the game just went on, and it was tied, and it was close, and Ohio State wasn't moving the ball offensively. And we just thought to ourselves, this is a game that Ohio State and Ryan Day have typically lost in these last couple of years. and they come up with a play late, they come up with a goal line stand late, and it sends them to the national championship game. So I think some of those worries, the Michigan worries, the worries about Notre Dame game last year, the worries about some, you know, kind of grinded out teams, I think a lot of people have kind of put that by the wayside.
Gillis, what was it about Texas's defensive game plan? Because Tennessee had no answers, Oregon had no answers, and we knew coming into the game, Texas had one of the best defenses, one of the best secondaries, so that certainly was a part of it. But schematically, did the Longhorns do anything that maybe you think Notre Dame will try and duplicate?
Well, that's an interesting question, because Texas runs a heck of a lot of zone, and you know they've got really good corners and really good defensive backs. Jahdae Barron's a really, really good DB, and you know basically what they did was they said anybody but Jeremiah Smith is going to beat us. Right. He had probably the best one catch for 3 yard performance in the history of college football. I thought he had his own gravitational pull, and that to me was really interesting. How Texas was basically like anybody but him. Anybody but him will beat us. And, you know, it kind of worked to an extent. And I think it played into what Texas wants to do. They've got a really good defensive line, including a really good pass rusher in Colin Simmons. I think Texas was a good matchup. Notre Dame, on the other hand, while people might say they have a better secondary, I don't think they're as good of a matchup for Ohio State. I think that Notre Dame's in some trouble there. And, you know, Leonard Moore, one of their freshman corners, who's had a great freshman season, came out the other night and said, you know, we're going to stick to what we do and we're going to play man coverage and we're going to challenge these receivers. And you hear that, you hear man coverage against Ohio State and you start to go, oh, okay, well, good luck with that. So I think there is a little bit of what you want to do if you're Notre Dame of just, hey, let's make anybody but Jeremiah Smith beat us. Hey, let's try and force the game into Carnell Tate's hands. Let's try and force them to run the ball to win. Let's try and force them, you know, out of their first and second options. I just don't know if they're going to have as much success doing that as Texas did.
Now, I mean, you've obviously watched this team all year. Is there a receiver that you like in this specific matchup? Like, do you think because they're going to play man that Jeremiah has the potential to go crazy? Is this an Ibukam game? Carnell Tate, who played great against Texas, do you think he stepped up again? Like, if you were to target a receiver in this game that you think shows up, who would that be?
I think common sense would tell you Emeka Ibukam, but I think I lean towards Carnell Tate because, you know, Notre Dame does have a really good secondary, right? You know, I understand what I just said about them man coverage and, you know, not being maybe a good matchup, but they are talented. Christian Gray, Leonard Moore, their two corners are very good. Xavier Watts and Adon Shuler, their two safeties are awesome. Xavier Watts is one of the best safeties in college football. So they've got some talent. I'm curious to what Al Golden, their defensive coordinator, has schemed up. But Carnell Tate was the guy that it was pretty clear Texas was like, if he beats us, you know, we're going to tip our cap. And Carnell Tate was, you know, I thought pretty open a lot of the time. Texas really wasn't drawing a lot of their attention. So I think common perception would tell you, okay, this could be an Emeka game if they're going to take away Jeremiah. But I think Carnell Tate might have some really favorable matchups. And I think Carnell Tate would be the guy, I think, where you look at and say, okay, this guy might have a really big game.
If Ohio State would have not lost to Michigan, if they would have won that game, if they would have rolled by 30 points, do you think they would be playing for the national championship game on Monday?
Oh, man. PJ, we could do an hour on the Michigan game. Like, just the psychiatry of it all, right? And the psychology of it all, because it's like, you know, this team turned on the switch after the Michigan game, and it was so very clearly them trying to out-tough Michigan, which just they could not do. So it's like, okay, is that a Michigan problem? Is this Ohio State is only having this issue against winged helmets and the maize and blue? Like, if they ever play Delaware, maybe they're in trouble. But, you know, I think, you know, like Ohio State, you could make the argument of like, okay, well, the Michigan game might just be a Michigan problem. And maybe they were going to do that to Oregon anyway. Maybe they were going to beat Tennessee like that anyway. So I still probably think they're here. I still think the way that they've talked about this the last couple of weeks is, hey, we haven't given Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins a lot of carries because we've been waiting for this moment. We've been waiting for them to be healthy at this time of the year, because if you look at the injuries, Notre Dame is not healthy. Notre Dame is down a lot of starters. Notre Dame's banged up in a lot of different places. And Ohio State, really, I mean, they've got two offensive line injuries, season enders, but, you know, those are not, you know, injuries that have really affected the team in the playoffs. So I think they're still probably here, to be completely honest with you, because I think there was a flip that switched once the Michigan game was over. And while if they played Oregon, you know, maybe in that Big Ten championship game, I don't think it's 34 to nothing with 4 minutes or whatever it was left in the second quarter. But I do think they probably would have went on this run. And I do think we're talking about them in the national championship game.
What do you think happens on Monday night? Tell me who you like to win. And then also, would you lay the 8.5 with Ohio State, or you think Notre Dame keeps close?
I think Ohio State's going to win, and I think pretty comfortably. You know, I've been trying to talk myself into, you know, oh, maybe Notre Dame could do this, or maybe Notre Dame could do that, and really just try to, you know, say, okay, well, if they control the clock and if they run the ball and they win the turnover battle, and you start to go, well, that's a lot to happen. That's a lot to ask. And now Notre Dame has done that all year. Notre Dame has kind of won games like that. Notre Dame's winning games playing trestle ball. And if you're an Ohio State fan, you know that running the ball, playing defense and special teams and coaching can win you the game. So I think Notre Dame, their track is just so much shorter and so much more narrow than for Ohio State. So I think Ohio State's going to win pretty big. I like laying the 8.5 with Ohio State, or 8 or whatever it is, really any number, because I think we just saw it. Ohio State could be up 7. They could be about to allow a touchdown. And then at that point, I think they were 6-point favorites over Texas. It's like, okay, well then, you know, then the cover's over. And it's like, they didn't really play that well.
Yeah.
And they still won by 14 points. And like that range of outcomes is always in Ohio State's path. That is always available for Ohio State. So yeah, I like Ohio State kind of by whatever, because I think that we might be in a situation where, you know, even if Ohio State is up, you know, by 10 points, by 7 points, by 14 points, I like them to keep piling it on, because the bigger problem for me is obviously how does Notre Dame defend Ohio State? I just don't know how Notre Dame is going to move the ball offensively against this Ohio State defense.
I'm with you. And Gillis, it's a great point. I think we're all getting caught up in how great the offense is for the Buckeyes, and we're not giving enough credit to how great their defense has been during the playoffs as well. Andrew Gillis, give him a follow on X at Andrew_Gillis70. Covers Ohio State football for Cleveland.com. Gillis, enjoy the title game, my friend. Appreciate you stopping by, giving us some insight. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, PJ. Appreciate it.
You got it. All right, guys, let's keep it rolling here on Send It In. Continue talking about the national championship game on Monday night between Ohio State and Notre Dame. Going to do things a little bit interesting. We'll also do this for the NFL over the next couple of weeks, too. Thought a great way to break down the props on this game would kind of just be to look at both teams, both quarterbacks, passing yards, both teams, running backs, rushing yards, all that different thing. So I'll bring on my guy, Shawnee Sharp, here, talk about some of these prop markets we got for the game, and pick one we would rather take. Sean, what's our first one up?
Yeah, Peach, let's go to passing yards here. Will Howard's passing yard is at 245.5 at minus 115, while Riley Leonard's at 178.5 at also at minus 115.
I think a lot of people are going to like Riley Leonard passing yards just because Notre Dame, 8.5-point underdogs, probably trailing, going to have to throw the ball, tough to run against Ohio State's defense. But actually, I'm going to go with Will Howard over passing yards in this game. We just talked about it with Andrew Gillis, right? The cornerback for Notre Dame, Leonard Moore, came out and said Notre Dame's going to do what they do, and they're going to play man coverage. And against Ohio State, man, good luck. I mean, that Notre Dame defense is awesome, and their secondary is really good, but they're facing a different beast than what they've seen all year in that Ohio State offense and those receivers. So I think Will Howard's going to have a pretty good day on the ground. Penn State for the first half was able to control the line of scrimmage against Notre Dame, and Ohio State's O-line's really been playing well throughout the playoffs. So I'll take Will Howard over 245 passing yards.
All right, how about on the ground rushing yards here for both quarterbacks? Will Howard over 11.5 rushing yards, minus 115, and Riley Leonard, kind of his key so far in these playoffs has been his legs. His rushing prop is at 37.5 rushing yards, minus 115. Again, in college football, sacks count against your rushing yards.
And that's the key, Sean. That's the key, because even though Leonard's going to get way more attempts than Will Howard is, you certainly have to be worried about the sacks and the pressure that Ohio State's D-line can generate. And I think this could be similar to the Penn State game, where maybe Leonard has like 15 to 17 carries, but he doesn't have that many yards to show for it. It's just really tough to break off big runs against this Ohio State defense. So if I had to pick one, I would take Will Howard over rushing yards. But honestly, I think Riley Leonard under rushing yards. If I had to choose, I would go with that one.
All right, how about go to the running backs here, rushing yards? Quinshon Judkins, 57.5 rushing yards, minus 115, or Jeremiah Love, 45.5 rushing yards, at minus 115.
I honestly kind of like both. You know, I mean, Jeremiah Love, just what a beast he is. His tolerance for pain, he's been dealing with injuries throughout the entire playoff, and he's still hurdling guys in the Penn State game. Gets another little recovery period to try and get ready to go for the national championship. But again, I really think Ohio State's going to load up the box. They're going to force Riley Leonard to beat them through the air. So Jeremiah Love really won't have all that much room to run in this game. Quinshon Judkins, meanwhile, I think Ohio State, yes, they're going to continue to probably do what they've done much of the playoffs, air it out, use their receivers, but also lean on Judkins, especially if they get a lead. So I think Judkins probably the bigger bet, going over 57.5 rushing yards for him.
Let's head over to the wide receivers receiving market here. Jeremiah Smith over 80.5 receiving yards, -115, or Jordan Faison, 39.5 receiving yards at -115.
Yeah, this is a tough one, right? Jeremiah Smith, so he had one catch for 4 yards. I mean, the Oregon game was one of the great performances we've seen in a while out of a receiver, especially a freshman. So it's like, what's Notre Dame going to do? They're all telling us that they're going to play man coverage, but, I mean, do you really want to leave Jeremiah Smith one-on-one? Like, I just refuse to believe Notre Dame's not going to have help on him most of the game, if not all the game. 80.5, though, I mean, Smith could, you know, get a chunk of that on, like, one catch. Faison has kind of been working the middle of the field for Notre Dame. I could see him having a big game. I kind of like the over on both guys, but I'll more so lean towards Faison going over his 39.5 yards. I think he's probably the Notre Dame receiver that I would look at in this game.
All right, sticking with wide receivers here, Mika Ibuka, over 55.5 receiving yards, -115, or the tight end for the Fighting Irish, Mitchell Evans, over 34.5 receiving yards at -115.
Let's go with Amika. This is my guy. I've been riding him throughout the playoffs. I just love his game. He's smooth. He's steady. He's consistent. You know, he doesn't get talked about. Jeremiah Smith gets all the praise, and everybody wants to talk about Smith. But Ibuka is a stud, and he's probably going to be a first-round receiver in the NFL draft. You really saw how important he was in the beginning of that Texas game, setting the tone for Ohio State. I think he could be that same thing again. So I'll go Ibuka over receiving yards.
All right, the final ones for wide receivers here. Carnell Tate over 40.5 receiving yards, or the Jaden Greathouse, remember him catching the big touchdown pass against Penn State, over 21.5 receiving yards, -115.
Yeah, I'm going with Greathouse. I mean, he's the deep threat for Notre Dame, and his receiving yards total is only at 21.5. We saw him have that long touchdown against Penn State to tie the game at 24. When you're a deep threat like that, and you can get over your receiving yards on just one play, I like that. So I'll take Greathouse to go over his receiving yards.
All right, we'll do two anytime touchdowns here for PJ. Quinshon Judkins, anytime touchdown, -130 against Riley Leonard, touchdown, +125.
Going to lay the juice with Judkins at -130. Riley Leonard, when Notre Dame gets inside the five-yard line, they actually like using him more in the QB run game than they do the running backs. Problem is Notre Dame, or Ohio State, excuse me, is just so tough to score on when you get inside the five. We saw that against Texas. So I know it's plus money, and Notre Dame, if they get the ball, you know, goal to go situation inside the five, they might give it to Leonard, but I just think laying the juice with Judkins, Ohio State should have way more opportunities to score in this game. I like Quinshon over -135.
All right, last one here for you. Mika Ibuka, anytime touchdown, +145, or Jadarian Price, anytime touchdown at +270.
I like both. You know, I think Notre Dame is the team to take long shot touchdown prices with because, again, it's so hard to run the ball on Ohio State inside the five. So it's going to be tough for Riley Leonard and Jeremiah Love to score. So I think you're better off looking for receivers or maybe one of the receiving backs, the backup back in Jadarian Price. So I like him at +270. I do like Ibuka too as well. These would probably be my two favorites to sprinkle on each team, would be Price for Notre Dame and Ibuka for Ohio State. So I would look at both of those guys to score a touchdown in the Natty. All right, let's talk some NFL now as we're previewing divisional weekend. And we will start with the Commanders and Lions. Plenty of props that I like in this game. As for the side, BetMGM now is the Lions down to -9. Still got to lay juice at -120 over Washington. The total in this game is 55.5. Makes a lot of sense that the total is this high with these two offenses, the way that Jaden Daniels is playing at quarterback, and also how aggressive both coaches are, right? So Dan Campbell and Dan Quinn both go for it more than anybody on fourth down, and obviously that helps the over because if you're not punting, maybe you're giving the other team short field, you're passing up field goals to score touchdowns, those kind of things. So I see why the total is high. I kind of lean the over in the game, to be honest with you, even with it being the playoffs and a total being this high. But if I had to make a bet, I would take the Lions -9.5 against Washington. I know with all those points and with Jaden Daniels' ability just to hang around and Washington just sticking in all these games. It's really tough to bet against them outside of their week one loss against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All the other four games that Washington has lost have come by one possession. So they're playing everybody tight. They're hanging around in all these games, and that really speaks to Jaden Daniels and how awesome he is, even as a rookie quarterback. It does feel like Washington is this team of destiny, right? The Hail Mary against the Bears. Devontae Smith drops the game winner for the Eagles. Failed two-point conversion against the Saints. Last week, the doink in against Tampa Bay. A lot of times, though, in sports, when you have a team with, like, Team of Destiny vibes, sometimes when they just face elite competition, not even just the gods can help them out, right? Like, think about NC State in the Final Four when they went up against Zach Edey and Purdue, just two outmatched. A lot of us, myself included, thought the Mets were the Team of Destiny. They go up against the Dodgers, just too much to overcome there. Kind of feels like the same thing. It's been a great story. Jaden Daniels is going to make Washington for great for years to come. They've had an unbelievable year, but you're just going up against a different beast in Detroit. So I like the Lions -9.5. Some props that I would look at in this game: Jaden Daniels over 22.5 completions. He has gone over this number in the last six games that he has started and played in full. Obviously didn't play the full four quarters against Dallas in the regular season finale. And with what's probably going to be a shootout in Detroit, Washington trailing for much of the game, Jaden going to have to complete a lot of passes. He's so efficient. I like over 22.5 passing completions for Jaden Daniels. Also like Brian Robinson over 35.5 rushing yards. Been so much talk about Jaden Daniels' rush attempts, rushing yards throughout the week by a lot of people. But Washington couldn't run the ball with their running backs against Tampa. A lot of that had to do with Vita Vea in the middle for the Bucs. But against the Lions, with all their injuries on the D-line especially, I think Washington might be able to find some success on the ground. So Brian Robinson over 35.5 rushing yards, I like that. Terry McLaurin, longest reception over 24.5 yards, I like that too. Believe Moist Cupcakes asked a question yesterday about McLaurin anytime touchdown. I like that as well at plus 130, but I would look at Terry over his longest reception too. Detroit is an aggressive defense. They like to blitz. They like to play man coverage. And if Jaden sees one-on-one out on the outside with his guy Terry, he's going to throw him the deep ball, and they usually convert on those. So I like that for McLaurin as well. And then Zacchaeus, Alamide Zacchaeus, the wide receiver for Washington, over 31.5 receiving yards for him as well. Only three catches for 19 yards against Tampa Bay. However, before that, in his last four games, 51, 85, 70, and 36 receiving yards for Zacchaeus. Dyami Brown was the guy who stepped up as the number two receiver for Washington in that game against Tampa. It's usually been Zacchaeus, so I like him to go over that. As for the Rams and Eagles, favorite play in this game is going to be the Rams team total under at 19.5. This Rams defense has been incredible in their last four games. They have not given up more than 10 points to anybody. They gave up 9 to Minnesota, 9 to Arizona, 9 to the Jets, and 6 to San Francisco. Their defense has been lights out. Problem is the offense has scored fewer than 20 points in 3 of those games. And 2 of those games, the San Francisco game and the New York Jets game, which I'm really looking at because one of those games was in rain against the Niners. The other one was in cold temperature against the Jets. Rams will have to deal with both of those things. And Stafford, who's a dome quarterback, is not used to that. Obviously played his entire career with Detroit and with the Rams. Going outside is a completely different ball game. They didn't score a touchdown against the Niners, and they only scored one touchdown against the Jets. Now you're going on the road against one of the best defenses in the NFL in Philadelphia. I think the Rams are going to have a tough time scoring in this game. So favorite bet in that one is going to be the LA team total under at 19.5. I also like Saquon over rushing attempts at 20.5. Again, because the Rams defense has been so good, Eagles passing offense is kind of the question mark of their team. Just lean on Saquon. Feed him 25 times if you have to. I think they're going to do that. Matt Stafford under 228.5 passing yards. I like that too. And then Devontae Smith anytime touchdown at plus 190 against the Rams. All right, let's look up some wild card specials that I like here for us on Send It In. The player to have the most passing yards in the divisional round, actually like Jaden Daniels at plus 650. You think about the Texans and Chiefs game, really shouldn't be that many points. I don't think Stroud or Mahomes are going to throw for all that many yards. I was just talking about the Rams and Eagles game. I don't think either of those quarterbacks are going to throw for a ton of yards either. I know we're getting the matchup of the potential MVPs in Josh Allen and Lamar. Allen's never thrown for 200 or 15 passing yards, never thrown for more than 215 passing yards against the Ravens before. And the Ravens are just going to want to run the ball with Lamar and Derrick Henry. So I don't think he does that. I think it comes down to the Lions or the Commanders. And again, with Washington likely trailing in the game and having to play catch up, I think Jaden's going to throw for a bunch of yards. So I really like Jaden Daniels to lead the weekend in the divisional round in passing yards at plus 650. For most rushing yards, I'm going with some chalk. Give me Saquon Barkley at plus 155. Don't overthink this. Him, Derrick Henry, they're obviously going to get a lot of carries. I think Barkley could find more success, though, against the Rams defense, so I like that. Maybe take a flyer on Lamar at 32-1. Probably going to run him a lot. Most receiving yards, I'd look at McLaurin at plus 800. Jameson Williams at plus 950, I think is a good option. Maybe if you want a little sprinkle, Xavier Worthy of the Chiefs, 17-1. Could be an interesting look, too. Highest scoring game of the week, it's the favorite, but I would take it because it's plus money. Commanders and Lions at plus 110. I like that. Lowest scoring game, Eagles and Rams at plus 195. I just mentioned how good the Rams defense has been as of late. Really like both of those picks. Lions, Commanders to be the highest scoring game. Rams, Eagles to be the lowest scoring game. Now a promo from our friends at BetMGM, and a touchdown is always 6 points, but the longest one could mean you get $250,000 in bonus bets. Wager on any player to score during a game. If your pick is the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win big-time bonus bets on top of your wager. Opt in to the longest touchdown jackpot promotion. Place a $10 anytime touchdown wager up to one eligible bet per game. Your player scores the longest TD of the week, you'll win a share of $250,000 in bonus bets. All right, let's get to model making money now. Check in with Lucy Burge joining us here on a Thursday. And Lucy, what are the five-star plays that BetQL has for us today?
Yes, hello, PJ. Five-star play for today is in the NHL. It is Sharks Blue Jackets under 6. The Blue Jackets have hit the under in their last two games, and they hit the under in their last game at home, while the Sharks have gone under in 7 of their last 8 games and in 4 of their last 6 on the road. The Sharks also haven't scored more than 3 goals in each of their last 4 games, so the BetQL model loves the under here of 6 goals for tonight for Sharks and Blue Jackets.
All right, I like it. A little hockey pick there from the BetQL model. Very good. Lucy, let's talk. I love it. I love it. I know. Your Bruins, how have they been doing? They playing a little bit better, Lucy? What's going on
with them?
They've
been doing great, PJ. They are 2-0 since there were speculation that they all didn't get along. So now they are hot streak.
Look at that.
Just as the Celtics start to trend down. Very excited about the Bruins.
I mean, hopefully you can get them both clicking at the same time. Obviously, the team who has been clicking, and they've been doing it all year, is the Detroit Lions, Kansas City Chiefs. They've been pretty good, too. Lucy, both of these teams are big favorites over the weekend. Chiefs, 8.5-point favorites. Lions are 9.5-point favorites. Which underdog do you think, what would shock you most if they won? Houston over Kansas City or Washington over Detroit?
Yes, these big spreads really have been a kind of a conundrum. I finally decided who I'm taking, but these spreads made me conflicted. However, I would be most shocked. I'm probably like jaw on the floor shocked if the Texans beat the Chiefs outright, because the Chiefs always find ways to win. That is why they are the Chiefs. But there is a factor here that would make me even more surprised, is that Clay Martin is refereeing this game, and the Chiefs are 6-0 when he refs their game. So I would be completely shocked if the Texans do take down the Chiefs outright this weekend.
Look at that, a ref nugget from Lucy Burge. I mean, this is why you watch Send It In. Look at that, 6-0 with Clay Martin. What about the national championship, Lucy? You've been riding with Notre Dame throughout the playoff. They've made us all money on this show. Are you riding with them one more time, or do you like Ohio State?
Can you imagine, PJ, if this entire time I was like, Notre Dame doing the national championship, no matter who they face, and now they face a very tough opponent in Ohio State, and I'm like, you know what? I'm bailing on the Irish. I am not. I am here to declare that I am not bailing on Notre Dame. Shawnee Sharp agrees, I know. Notre Dame money line in this game, which is plus 280, to win the national championship. PJ, go Irish. Notre Dame to win this game.
I absolutely love it. All right, Lucy is riding with the Irish till the end. Should be a great game on Monday night. Lucy, always appreciate your time. Can't wait for this weekend. It's going to be epic. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week, PJ. Go Ravens.
Go Ravens. Love it. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. Rates each game on a 1 to 5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys. Time now for PJ's plays. B-Mills, I see you in the chat, my friend, with a couple of questions. How do I like Temple tonight, +8.5 against Memphis? Passing on that game would lead Temple, though. Definitely feels like they're probably the right side. Saquon, I talked about over carries. Love that for him. Like Dalton Schultz over receiving yards, too. Kansas City's been one of the worst teams in the NFL against the tight ends. And, you know, outside of Nico Collins, that's probably Stroud's number two guy. So I think Schultz is a good look for Houston as well. As for my prop lock, I really like Terry McLaurin's longest reception over 24.5 yards. If Jaden's taking a shot, it's likely going to be to number 17. So we'll take that as our prop lock. Give me Minnesota in college hoops tonight, +9.5 against Michigan. In college basketball, you guys, whenever you get a team that's leading the conference versus a team that's in dead last, I normally always take the dog. I like Minnesota plus the points against Michigan. And then finally, Maryland and Northwestern, we're going under 140.5. Feels like any time the Terps go play Northwestern on the road, it's always ugly, sloppy, low scoring. I don't expect this to be any different. So we'll take the under in Maryland and Northwestern. Thanks again to Andrew Gillis, Lucy Burge for joining us today on the show. We wrap it all up tomorrow. Looking forward to it. See you guys then.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.